You know, January, I realize for everybody is the beginning of the new year, but I've looked back over my own personal history, and I thought, wow, January, there's been some very important things happen in January. The first most important thing that happened in January was my mother gave birth to her only son. I thought that was kind of nice and important, and yes, it was 1944. Y'all do the math, and I don't mind telling you, an octogenarian is just a big word. That's all it is, and we're grateful for that. But as we look back over time and what God has done in our life over the years, I'm not going to give you everything because there's just too much to go over for that many years, but in 1981, in January, I resigned from a secular business for the ministry at Rose City Baptist Church. They had not called me as pastor yet. I was supplying for $50 a week and had three children. Kind of interesting how God works. But anyhow, he did provide, and we were there at Rose City Baptist Church for 10 years. In January 1991, we accepted the call to come to Murray Street Baptist in Lake Charles. What a blessing that was to come to Murray Street. Most loving people I ever met in my life, and you're still some of them. It was an amazing thing that God had done in our lives. And then in January of 2005, a process was begun between Brother Danny Busby and myself. The Lord brought us together praying about what the Lord would have us to do of merging two congregations together. He asked me, Brother Allen, what do you think about merging our two churches? I said, I've never heard of it. I've heard of Baptist churches splitting, but we don't know how to merge. I said, well, God's going to have to show us. He did, and the rest is history. That was in 2005. East Ridge came into existence in March of that year. In 2010, we moved into this beautiful building. Wow, what a difference God has made in all these years. And we know what happened in 2019 and 2020. Something terrible called COVID hit. Hit everybody in the world, and us included. But I'm thinking of the church. You'll remember back, we were wearing masks. Y'all remember wearing masks to church? I thought that was the weirdest thing, to look out and preach at people all looking like they're ready to rob you. They all had all masks. And you weren't sitting close to each other. You didn't dare. You had to count the seats between you, in other words, to be in church. And that was just part of the safety precautions, sanitizing everything else. And we even got, for a while, we were having parking lot services. You remember that? Yeah, we couldn't come into the building. We might get sick, so we stayed out in our cars. And I thought that was great. I really did. I loved it. I didn't want to keep doing it, but it was so much fun to preach. And when it was time to say amen, you'd beep your horn. Beep, beep. And everybody would just laugh. And you were having a good time out there in the parking lot. Well, a couple of those days, David, you might remember, we were kind of windy and rainy. And we were out there trying to preach. That's some of what's happened with East Ridge. It was a blessing. On the Wednesday nights, we couldn't gather together, so David and I would get together, and Miss Sarah would put us on the internet doing Bible studies together, and that was a lot of fun between the two of us. We could go back and forth on the scriptures. I'd like to do that again. It was just good. We may not do it on a Wednesday night, but we may start doing that again. It was a blessing to everybody. And then we know about the hurricanes that came in 2020. God blessed us. The building was not destroyed. It was damaged, but not destroyed, and it was good enough condition that we could use it. And even for the weeks we had no electricity, we still used it, running generators and all that kind of stuff. And then God used his building to provide a place for two other congregations to worship, First Baptist Church of Lake Charles and First Baptist Church of Iowa. All three congregations were meeting here at different times of the day on Sundays. What a blessing that was, looking back on it. Oh, it was kind of had its trials and tests, of course. You can just imagine coordinating things, but it worked out fine. But the problem of all these blessings were that took us out of what was normal, that people started watching church on TV and on the internet. And they said, man, I don't need to get up and get all dressed and get in my car and drive down to church. All I got to do is punch a button. Man, it's right there in my internet. I can watch it on my computer. And nobody's going to judge me on how I look or how I smell. I can just stay at home. And about 30% of our congregation has done that. Isn't that amazing? But you say, that's terrible. Well, I think it's terrible too. But the truth of the matter is, it's not just us. You talk to other pastors in other churches, they'll tell you we're experiencing the same type of thing. People got used to having church at home. But you can't really have church at home. I talked to a man the other day and I asked him about his relationship with the Lord. He told me he was saved. And I said, well, where do you go to church? He said, in my closet. I get alone with God in my closet. That's where I have church. I said, well, that's good. Be with God in your closet. But friend, you're missing out on something. Amen. Gathering together like we're gathering together is so important. And I know this is going out over the internet and radio and everything else. But for those of you who are guilty, come back to church, okay? You're missing something, and you're cheating other people out of being blessed by your presence, and not just here for Eastridge, but for other folks that are having the same thing. Well, we plateaued after that. That's history. Didn't come talk about history today. It came talk about the future. We want to look forward. We look back for just a moment, but from here on in this message, we're going to be looking forward. And so I want you to look forward and say, God, what do you have for us in 2024? It's not going to be the same as 2023, 22, 21, 2019, or any of the other years. It's a whole new year. I don't know what God has in store, but I know we need to seek Him in this year. We're going to be looking for a mountaintop in the distance that we can't see yet, but we know it's out there. And we sure can't see the valleys between here and that mountaintop, but we know God wants us there. He wants to put us on a high place, a beautiful place where He'll get the glory and we'll see Him more clearly than ever before and serve Him better than we ever have before. We can't see the twisty, windy road between here and there, the bumps in the road or any of that. But listen to me, folks, God wants us to move forward. He does not want us to stay on the plateau. He gets no glory out of a plateau. He's got a place for us to go. We must get off of the plateau, and that means to grow. For the kingdom's sake and for the sake of lost souls, we must go forward. Amen. And in order to do that, we must share the gospel with as many people as we can and make disciples. It's a key word, make disciples of as many people as we possibly can. All of you are aware of what's going on behind us back here. Building being constructed, education building. If you haven't paid much attention to me, let me fill you in. We've seen a lot happen the last few weeks. I mean, it wasn't too long ago, it was nothing but dirt out there. And now you can see the wood frame up, you can see the decking on part of the roof. And there's going to be 8 classrooms in there. Those 8 classrooms are going to replace the 4 portable classrooms that we've got out here now. Why are you making 8 classrooms when you don't need but 4? We're not building for today. We're looking forward to the future. We're looking forward to that mountaintop when those 8 classrooms are going to be filled and they say, we're going to have to add on because God's doing a mighty work through Eastridge. It's not us, it's Him. We're just being obedient to Him and doing what He told us to do and watching Him work. That's why we're building the building that size.
Amen.
We got to do it. We've got to make up our minds. We're not going to stay where we are. We've got to go forward for Him. Those old classrooms, they've served their purpose. They've been there for 18 years. That's a long time for a portable building. Been through 2 hurricanes and stood. It's amazing. God used them and He blessed them. But now, as we look at the building going up, I can tell you they're on track as far as timetable goes. Maybe even a whisker ahead. I don't know. But just on the time frame of getting it built up. But what about the funding? Uh-oh, now, Brother Allen, you're going to start preaching about money? Yes, I am. Because that contractor wants to be paid. His subcontractors want to be paid. That team of carpenters want to be paid. The bricklayer's going to want to be paid. The plumber's going to want to be paid. The electrician's going to got to have it. Do we have any money? Yes, we do. We've got about half of what we totally need for the whole project. So what am I telling you? We got to give. It's going to come out of our pockets. You say, well, we can go back to the bank and borrow it. Yes, we can. How much glory does God get out of borrowed money? If His people don't give what they can and we have to go borrow it, is God getting the glory from that? You know when God gets the glory? It's when His people start giving sacrificially. Saying, you know what? I can do without that in order to contribute to the kingdom of God. I can deprive myself out of this in order to glorify God and make more disciples and do what He's called us to do. That sacrificial giving. And I'm not talking about tithing. Tithing is something entirely different. The tithe is what God has required of every one of us, that 10% that He says, this is mine. And when you read in Malachi, it tells you, says, if we don't give Him that 10%, we are robbing God. I mean, it's just that plain. You can read around it however you want to, but that's what it says. So we're not talking about tithing. We're talking about giving over and above the tithe, sacrificially, to pay for His educational building. And you say, well, why is it building so important? Well, here's the scriptures. Matthew chapter 28. See, our goal is to open the doors in that building debt-free and give God the glory for it rather than borrow money for it. But here's the purpose. Our purpose as a church is not to build buildings so people drive up and down the road and say, oh, isn't that a pretty building? That's just not what our purpose is. This is our purpose right there. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That's our purpose. That's exactly what God has called us to do. Our Lord tells us why we are here. He tells us this is our purpose, to go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. That first word is very important. That first word says go. It doesn't say build a building, put a sign out front and hope they come. Nothing wrong with building buildings. You got to have them. You need them. They're very important. And the sign out front is extremely important, that we have the sign out front. And we can hope and pray that people come, but that's not what He said do. Nowhere in the scriptures do you find that, well, that's what we're to do as a church. Oh, there's nothing wrong with doing it. It's very good. God uses it. He said what? What's the word? Give it to me.
Go.
Go. You know, that's why we were at the highway yesterday at the farmer's market. Yeah, we had a booth there, farmer's market. You know what we were doing out there? Giving away free Bibles and free prayer. That's it. Free. Brother Jim was there. Oren was there. Free Bibles, free prayer. And people walk around and we got signs on free Bibles, free prayer. And all you had to do, they come by and they look. You know how they are in the farmer's market. It's kind of like a flea market. Everybody's looking at everything. And they look down and see the sign. They see the tables covered up with Bibles and gospel tracts. And they say, hey, this is what we're doing. We're giving away free Bibles and free prayer. Which do you need? You need both? Some people would say, well, I got plenty of Bibles. Well, good. Are you reading them? Oh, yeah, I read my Bible. Or I'm not as much as I should. Whatever the answer was. Well, how about prayer? Can we pray for you? Many times they'd say, well, everybody needs prayer. Well, that means you too. How can we pray for you about it? That's what we were there for. To stop people in their daily living and say, God loves you and we want to pray for you. We want to give you a copy of His Word. And when we did, we gave them a copy of His Word with a gospel tract inside so they could find the Lord Jesus in that big, thick book. Amen. Oh, we had several different editions and small pocket-sized New Testaments and everything else. But it was a wonderful experience. Many people would stop and pray with us. And some of them even kind of surprised us. There was one little boy, I hope I never forget him. I never did ask his name. Looked like he was about 10 years old. He was by himself. And he just kind of wandered around. I think his family probably had a booth out there or something. And he was wandering around and he's looking. And I don't know who it was. Might have been Brother Jim. Did you give him that tract? Gave him a little gospel tract and a small pocket New Testament. Boy, he was so happy. And I said, son, look at that tract. He looked at it and I said, can you tell what it says? Yeah, it's the one with the alligator I showed you a minute ago. He said, yeah. I said, what does it say? It says the big question. I said, you know what the big question is? Huh? Open it up. And this is a very important track because, Lord willing, if you help us next weekend in Cameron, same one we're going to use. On the inside it says, are you going to heaven when you die? Do you know for sure? And he said, I said, well, there's the question. What's your answer, son? Oh, yeah, I'm going to go to heaven. I said, well, good for you. Why do you think that? Well, I'm a pretty good boy. I mind my mama. I said, you're really pretty good. Yeah, I'm pretty good. I said, you think you're good enough to go to heaven? He said, oh, yeah. I said, can I tell you you're wrong? He didn't like that answer at all. I know adults that have the same answer, and they don't like it either when they find the truth from God's Word. It says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He saw the scriptures. He opened it up, that little New Testament that he had. And, of course, these scriptures are in that tract. He read it in the tract and he read it in his New Testament, so he knew it was God's word. It wasn't just something we had printed and handed to him. I said, "Now what do you think? I'm not good enough." I said, "No, you're not." And we were able to share the gospel with this young man, how God sent his son Jesus to come from heaven, to live a sinless life and die a terrible death on a cross to pay for that little boy's sin so God could forgive him and take him to heaven when he died. If he would just repent and admit, "God, I'm not good enough to go to heaven on my own. Jesus, come save me." And I'd like to tell you, I heard him pray that prayer, but I could tell he wasn't quite ready. He wanted to, but the crowd of people was too much for a 10-year-old boy. So I said, "Son, I'll tell you what. I can tell right now you'd be a little embarrassed with all these people standing around. If they could hear you pray that prayer, as great as it would be, would you do me a favor?" And he said, "What's that, sir?" I said, "Would you promise me that while you're here this morning, before you leave, would you get off away from everybody else? Get alone, just you and God. And you talk to God. And you tell him you're sorry for your sins. Admit you sin. And tell him you're sorry. You're not good enough to go to heaven on your own. Then you pray and ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you." He said, "I sure will." And that little fellow took off with a gospel tract in one hand, a New Testament in the other, and a smile on his face. I don't know his name. I don't know where he lives. But I know this. This young man heard the gospel. Why? Go to all the world. Because Eastridge went yesterday. That's just one. But that one stuck out in my mind. He was such a precious child. I hope to see him one day. Don't know. I hope to see him in heaven. I believe we probably will. That track is so simple. And the fact it's got an alligator on it makes it real neat for next weekend when we go down to Cameron, the Fur and Wildlife Festival, and be giving out 1,500 of them. It's got the same question. Do you know for sure you're going to go to heaven when you die? That's the same question for all of us. We got to know. Yes. You can know. Don't just guess. Guessing don't get it. Amen. Don't just think, "Well, maybe God will think I'm good enough." No, he won't. If that's all you've got, no, he won't. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have enough. The same track that we're going to be giving out at the Mardi Gras parade, maybe, I'm not sure the same track or not, but we'll be doing the same thing, going and sharing the gospel with people along the Mardi Gras parade tracks, and at the rodeo we'll be doing the same thing. And that's what Eastridge does. That's why we go to those events and why we preach the gospel message on the radio and on the TV and on the internet. I don't know how many different internet platforms we're on. It's a bunch. You can look on your back of your bulletin. It'll tell you some of them. Or you can pick a bulletin out there in the foyer and it'll show you surprise. All over the world, this little church is sharing Jesus. What are we doing? We're going. And we're doing what it says to do here. Going and teaching all nations. I did meet one family yesterday. And I can't tell you how much joy it brought me to meet this family. Brother David and I have been talking about this for quite some time. Brother David, when did we start giving out those cookies? Okay, almost a whole year. We subscribe to a new mover in list, people that come into the area and they give us a list, and we go to that address and we've got a bag and it's got information about the church. It's got a scribble pad on it and a pen, got a gospel track in it and everything else in there. And on the card that they send out, the company sends out to these people letting them know Eastridge welcomes you to the area, there's a picture of a plate full of cookies. So when we deliver the bag to this house, we go see these people. We've got their name, they got their address. We take them a little bag of cookies, real cookies that they can eat, and hopefully identify with the card that they got that we're inviting you to come to church. And of course, we do try our best to invite them. Well, there was one family who moved over here on Manchester Road. They were not there when I went, so I just hung it on the door. And when they were at the booth yesterday, this lady says, "You're from Eastridge Baptist Church." "Oh, yes, ma'am." I thought, "What'd we do?" She said, "Y'all brought me that little bag, and it had something in it." I said, "Was it cookies?" "Yes, it was cookies." I said, "Well, ma'am, we're neighbors. Won't you just come on?" I don't see her here this morning, but maybe by next Sunday. Brother, we're finally getting somebody there. And it was amazing. I got so excited because all these months we were getting almost zero response as far as we knew, but God knows everything. What did He do? He told us to do what? Go and teach all nations. The word that's translated teach is a special word, methotibo in Greek, but it says teach them what? He doesn't say teach them what here. He just says teach all nations. Well, teach them the gospel. Teach them about just the truth of the matter is you're a sinner, but the truth of the matter is God loves you. The truth of the matter is He sacrificed His Son for you. Teach them the truth. Amen. Go and the word literally here means more than just teach these facts. It means to go and make disciples. Get this. This is so important. And this is where many churches fall down, us included. Making disciples. Well, what is a disciple? A disciple is somebody who will follow Jesus and become attached to Jesus for the rest of their lives. That's a disciple. It's not somebody who just said, oh, what's the prayer you want me to pray? I can say those words. No. It's a disciple. It's somebody who is beginning to follow Jesus. He changes their lives drastically. It's somebody who lives their life His way, and He is the active Lord of their lives. Amen. That's a disciple. Amen. A true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ does not live like they used to before they prayed that prayer and trusted Him as Lord and Savior. Yes. What's our job to do? Make disciples. Our job is not finished passing out tracts. Our job isn't finished inviting somebody to pray and trust Jesus. Our job is to make disciples. How do you make disciples? You teach them. How do you teach them in that brand new building out there, just like we did in these old buildings? See, there is a purpose in doing all of this. It's for the Lord's glory and to be obedient to Him. The primary mission of the church is to go and make disciples. That's it. If we were not to make disciples, why would we exist? I mean, why didn't we just go on to heaven the moment we got saved? Because God wants to use us to make disciples. Well, that's the primary mission of Eastridge, and it's God's purpose for our existence as a church. And if that's true for us as a church, it's true for us as individuals, because you and I make up the church. So we can't just say, oh, well, that's the mission of the pastor. It is. That's the mission of the associate pastor. It is. But that's the mission for the youth minister. It is. Is that the mission for deacons? Yes, it is. It's the mission for all of us. We're all part of the church. And some of y'all are going, amen, and some of you say, I wish I hadn't heard that. Go and make disciples. Not just when we feel like it or have nothing else to do. No, that's not what He says. Go make disciples. Go do it. It's part of your lifestyle. That's why you're here. It should impact every part of your life. If we wait until we just feel like it or have nothing else to do, we probably won't do it at all. Here's the proof. Here's the proof. Here's the question. How many disciples did you help make in 2023? There's the proof. Why? Well, we were just waiting for the right opportunity or until we felt like it or didn't have anything else to do. Yet we wanted to. We knew we were supposed to. If half of the people in this room did what we were supposed to do last year, went and made disciples, how many disciples do you think we'd have made compared to the number of disciples that were made? You see, if we're going to do what God's called us to do, it's pretty obvious something has to change. Something has to change. We have to change. Okay, so how are we going to change? What's it going to take to change us? Only God can change us. So we'll have, and if God's going to change us and He's got to do it, we've got to be willing for Him to change us. God, I'm willing for You to make that change in me that I'll give a higher priority to making disciples than I've ever had before, because that's what You've called me to do. You said that's why you're still here on earth waiting for your trip to heaven. Change me. We have to be willing. And if we're willing, then we need to ask God. We need to ask God to change you and me and our brothers and our sisters. Change Eastridge. to become the disciple-making church He wants us to be beginning right now in 2024. Why not? Why not ask God to do what only He can do? It'll be for His glory and for our blessings and the blessings for countless other people if we'll just do it. We've got to be willing and we've got to ask. I had given you another passage of Scripture to look up, and please, I hope you found Mark chapter 11, and I'm going to close out with this. As we're thinking about believing that God can do it and asking Him to do it, we've got to begin with Mark chapter 11, verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. I can't change myself. I try. You do too. Some of you do. You make New Year's resolutions. Some of them last till February. I can't change myself. I know I want to change. I know I need to change. God can change me. God can change you. He can change the one sitting next to you. He can. You believe that? Amen. If you really believe it, that means you have faith in God. That's what Jesus said we're to do. Our faith is not to be in our ability to make the changes. Our faith is in His ability to make the changes. And the Lord would not tell us to do something that we would be unable to do with His power. And so we need His power to go and make disciples. And to put it as a priority in our lives, He has to change us and change our priorities. He said, well, okay, I've got faith. I believe God can do it. What do I have to do? Pray. Ask Him. Look at verse 24. Jesus is still talking. He says, Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, do you desire for this change? Do you desire to become a disciple maker? Whatsoever you desire, when you pray, you got to pray for it. Believe that you receive these things and you shall have them. I believe that's true. Why do I believe that's true? Because in my Bible, that's red letters. Jesus doesn't lie. In other words, if we believe that His call on us is to be disciple makers as a church and as individuals, and we believe that He can change us to make that the top priority in our lives, and we'll not be satisfied with anything else except being obedient to Him and making disciples, and we believe that He can change us, and we ask Him, He says it'll get done. Isn't that what Jesus said? That's what it said. That's in my Bible anyway. Yours too. He can change our hearts. He can change our priorities. He can change our habits and everything. He can change all of things that need to be changed. He can enable us to accomplish His will in 2024. And that's making disciples. If you believe it, are you willing to pray for it? Are you willing to pray and ask God to change East Ridge into the disciple-making church that He wants it to be? Not anybody else's standards except His. Not competing with any other church. Just being obedient to Him for the sake of souls and for the sake of the kingdom of God. Do you believe He wants that to happen? Do you believe that He's willing to do it if we ask? Jesus said so. So I'm just going to ask you to join me at the altar. If you really believe it, I'm asking you to join me and let's pray for it. Believing that He can, that He wants to, and He will. He's able. Let's pray for it. And be willing to let God have His way. God can change our church. And God can change me. I'm going to suggest you come down here and kneel with me and make that basically your prayer. Lord, help me to be what You want me to be and help me to do what You want me to do. Christian, are you ready for this? And I've got to warn you, this is just the first part of this. Because of the week from this coming Friday night, we're going to have a Friday night prayer meeting that's going to start at 6:30. And it's going to last until you go home. And it's going to be preceded by fasting and prayer. Something you hadn't done in a long time, huh? It's been, like you say about Wolf Brand Chili, how long, been, neighbors? Too long? We need to get serious about God's business. Time is short. Time is short. Will you join me now here as we pray for God's will to be done? Pray that He'll change our church, beginning with the pastor, beginning with the deacons, beginning with you and me. Let's pray.